Y'all see that? He says, what? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye that the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Straight up, isn't he? I like that. Now, verse 23, verse 17 through 22 is the disorder at the Lord's table. And Paul's wanting us to distinguish between the disorder and the right order. All right? Now, here in verse 23, this is the order which we should take the Lord's Supper. The Bible says, for I have received of the Lord, which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord, there's the word that we all need to pay attention to. The discord is unworthily. The approval is worthy. All right? Now keep that in mind. It says, unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But, remember what I told you about that word? That word but is something that we overlook in the Bible. When you see that word anywhere, I don't care, it's from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 and 21. Anywhere in between 66 books, it is a contrast between good and evil or good and bad, all right? So he says, Paul tells them that if you drink and take part of the Lord's Supper unworthily, right? That's the word he used. You're guilty of the body of Jesus Christ, right? Now look at the next verse. And then he says in the very first word, he says, but let a man examine himself, and so let eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Wonder what he's saying right there. We're going to get to it here in just a little bit. For if we would judge ourselves, watch this, we should not be judged. If you come clean in the house of God, people won't look at you and judge you because God has already done that. We need to be clean. Now watch. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. Now that word chastened in redneck terms means you whooped. All right? I didn't get whippings, I got whoopings. There's the difference. A whipping is something that says you can't have your PlayStation. A whooping is a plow line or a hickory to cut the blood out of you. That's a whooping. And that's what I was raised on, all right? It says, chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned in the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, that's what we're going to do today, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. So many times we try to put our ordinances on things, you know. So many times we try to do it our way. How many know God left two ordinances? Two. That's it. He left baptism and He left the Lord's Supper. That is the two ordinances God Himself left. And I'm going to explain that to you, and I want you to listen to me real well. Baptism, as we know, back in the watery grave, and we're fixing to have a baptism coming up for too long. I thought I'd wait till about December and don't turn the heat on and wake y'all up, all right? But the baptism is the outward expression of showing someone that you have gave your heart and life to Jesus Christ. The Lord's Supper as an ordinance that we take in. You see, when you're baptized, you're total submerged in water, all right? That's what baptism means, a submerging of one's body. Not a sprinkle, it's a baptism, all right? That shows the world that you have washed all the old things up and you're raised up a new person, or you're baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection. Now, you take of the Lord's Supper, you don't take the bread and wipe it all over you, or you take the cup and pour it on top of your head. That is an inward thing. You drink the cup. Is that not what Jesus said? You drink the cup and take eat of my body, right? Everybody with me? That is inward. So you start on the inside and work your way out. That is the two ordinances that God has set before us. And this morning, we're going to partake of one of the ordinances that God has set before us. I know the deacons set this up this morning, but it has nothing to do with their hands that set it up. It is an ordinance of God that we partake in this event this morning. Now, I will say this. The Bible teaches us very strongly that if you're not saved and you're unworthy, the best thing for you to do is let it pass by you. Because then if you take part, the Bible says you are guilty of the Lord's death. Is that not what we just read? Sure it is. Now I want to give you just a few things this morning about the Lord's Supper if I can. I don't know if you've ever been explained what I'm explaining to you, but the Lord laid it on my heart and I'm going to give it to you. Amen? So our time at the Lord's table, number one, it's a time of remembrance. It's a time of remembrance. Go back to verse 24, 25, and 26. I want you to look with me. The Bible says, and when he had gave thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Look at the next verse. He said, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as you drink. See, the Lord's Supper is a time of remembrance. And I thought, as I was sitting there studying this, about Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 14. I want you to look what that verse says. As many were astonished at thee. Now watch this closely now. A lot of times we overlook this verse in the Bible. It says his visage. That word visage means his appearance. All right? Was so marred. Now watch. More than any man. Nobody has ever went through what Jesus went through for you and I. Not even come close. They took their fist, sticks, belts, leather, straps, whatever, and beat him in the face. Can you imagine what he went through? And his form was more than the sons of men. I can't imagine how they just beat him so bad that his own mama didn't even know her son. Can you imagine the evil, the meanness, to where his face or appearance was beaten so bad that when his mama looked up, he said, "Behold thy son." Can you imagine that this morning? I sat there and I just sat in awe at what Jesus actually went through for you and I. I thought, I need to remember this morning. As I'm taking this Lord's Supper and how they just stripped him of his clothes and he was naked and beat him. All of those things, y'all know all what he went through. Well, we know some of it, we don't know all of it. But the massive beating he took, it was so bad that his blood was turned into water at his death. Because when they jabbed the spear in his side, the Bible says it outgushed blood and water. You see, the blood turned into water because the organs quit working and it wasn't traveling through the veins no more. He wasn't able to take in oxygen to keep the blood cells going. So it's called pooling. And the blood goes from the head and it starts building up at the body, the bottom of the body, and it's building up and building up and building up. And when they jabbed the spear in his side, it wasn't nothing but blood and water come out. It would do us good to remember that this morning. It would do us good to remember the Lord of what He done. Not only is it, number one, a remember of an agonizing Lord, but number two, we need to remember an achieving Lord. An achieving Lord. When He died, He didn't stay dead. Amen? I want you to look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 6. Those verses this morning, I need you to grab a hold of it, because as I was thinking about all the achievements that the Lord done, I remember Him touching the lame. I remember Him casting demons out of the maniac. I remember them taking the roof off of a house and letting a man down in there. And then He said, "Take up thy bed and walk." I remember the man at the pool of Bethesda laying there, and only one time a year the angels came and troubled the waters, the Bible says. And if you was the first one in the water, you was healed of whatever disease or whatever you had wrong, you was instantly healed. And I remember Jesus walking by, and the man, he looked at him and said, "Sir, what do you want me to do for you?" He said, "I have nobody to put me in the water." He said, "Get up." I remember those things. He said, "Get up and walk." Bible says that the man got up and walked. Been lame all of his life. I remember those things. I remember how He took the lady that touched the hem of His garment. Out of all the hundreds of people around, people touching Him and thronging Him, the Bible says how He knew without even looking it was a woman behind Him. And He said, "Thy faith had made thee whole." Those are all great achievements. But the greatest above all achievements this morning is when they took His body off the cross. and wrapped him up and put perfume on him and put him in Joseph's borrowed tomb, that when he was laying in there, that was only the beginning. I remember the achievement of how the body of the Bible says that while he was yet in the tomb, he descended into the lower parts of the earth. And he got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And on the third glorious morning, he walked out of that grave. That's an achievement that without folks, we wouldn't be where we are this morning. That he's not dead, but praise God, he's alive and alive forevermore. That's an achievement. And I was sitting there thinking, as I'm taking the Lord's Supper this morning, I think about the agonizing of all he went through. But then I think of the achievement of how he come out of the grave victorious. Amen? He's not there no more, but it was resurrection morning. And then Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12. I remember number 3. I remember his appearing. It's coming. As I'm taking the Lord's Supper this morning, it would do us good that knowing that one of these days he's coming back. It would do us good this morning that as we take the bread, how beaten and how agonizing it was for the Lord to send his only begotten Son to do that. But it would do us good this morning to remember he's coming back one of these days. And I don't think it's going to be very long. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, ever sat down at the right hand of God. How many know that one of these days the Father's going to look at the Son? He's going to say, Son, it's time. Go get my children. Jesus is going to rise up. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11 that as this same Jesus which is taken up from you in so like manner shall return. He's going to, that same cloud that he stepped out on and was taken up in the vision of his disciples, he's going to step out on a cloud and come back and get us one of these days. Are you ready for him? What if it's to come today? You know, this coming week, I believe I saw rain about every day. Did y'all see that? How many know without clouds, there ain't no rain? How many know it could be the cloud Jesus steps back on? It could be him coming back this afternoon. It could be before we leave this place today. It could be, the Bible says, in a moment, and in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. How many know that? So I got to thinking as I was partaking in this Lord's Supper, I need to remember his appearing. He's coming back. Number 2, not only is it a time to remember, but this is a time to repentance. It's a time for repentance. You say, from what, preacher? Look back at verse 27 in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians again. The Bible says this in verse 27, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But it says, let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh, tell me the next word. To who? Does that say to the preacher? Mm-mm. Does it say to your neighbor? To your husband? To your wife? But it says to himself. You're bringing the wrath of God on yourself if you take of this Lord's Supper unworthily. We need to remember, before it's ever passed around and before it's ever touched, there needs to be a time of repentance. Of what? Number one, our sins. Folks, we sin every day of our lives. There's no way around that. We're born in sin, but praise God, one of these days we're going to die out of sin. Amen. I'm so thankful for that. But you see, not only is it a time of repentance of our sins, but it's a time of repentance for our selfishness. Not letting God be God. Not letting God direct our steps. This goes right along with our Sunday school this morning. How Nehemiah asked God and prayed to God to give him direction. When to go. How to go. What to do when he gets there. And if you go on and read beyond where we was at in our lesson this morning, you'll find out that God prepared the way for Nehemiah. I mean, he prepared the way, and he had people already out there ahead of him preparing to redo the gates of that city. Folks, we need to repent of sin and selfishness. Last of all, I want to give you this one, and we're fixing to partake in the Lord's Supper. It's a time to remember. It's a time of repentance. And it's a time for renewal. It's a time for renewal. Look back with me at verse 31 in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Bible says, for if we judge ourselves, there's the renewal, we should not be judged. What do we need to renew? Let me give you three things right quick. Number one, I believe we ought to renew our vows to the Lord. You see, our vows to the Lord is something that we forget. Our vows to the Lord is a promise to the Lord, right? When I first got saved, I started, boy, I was just on fire for God. How many remember when you first got saved? I mean, Union County and Anson County didn't have enough water to put you out. I don't care how many hydrants was around. You was on fire for God, and man, you started making prompt, Lord, I'm just ready to do this, that, and the other. And then when he called me to preach, I sat down and I wrote some vows out to God. And, you know, I believe if we're going to take this Lord's Supper this morning, we need to, in this fast-paced world we're living in, we need to slow down just a little bit and renew our vows to God. Redo our promises. Lord, I promise you, when the church doors is open, I'm going to be there. Wow. I didn't hear not one amen. Not one. Does that tell you where our society is today? Huh? That's a vow. That's a promise. Forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more you see the day approaching. Is that not what the Bible says? Why don't we come on Wednesday night? Well, some of you work, I know that. That's all right. Some of you sick, God understands that. But what does God do for you, and what are you doing for Him? That's a vow. That's a promise. What kind of promises are you going to make God? Number two, not only our vows, but our vision. We need to grab a vision for the lost. You know, Thursday night, I told Penny and Tommy, I said, I am give out. I said, I ain't going to stay long. We got to this home. We was out visiting. I looked down at my watch. You know how you sometimes have to adjust your eyes? It was 25 till 10. I don't know. It might have been 15 till when we left, was it, Tommy? Something like that. But you know, we said some things that needed to be said. And hopefully it's going to bring people to the house of God. Time is nothing to God. And He'll give you strength. You know, the next day, I got up, went to work. Didn't even bother me that I was out so late. We need to get that vision back. We need to review our vows to God. And last of all, we need to remember our victory we have coming. The vows, the vision, and the victory. Promise of a future. How many's got a future home in heaven one of these days? Boy, I can't wait. I ain't going to jump on the next train, but I'm ready when it comes. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. I ask you,